This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Kate Delaney, and welcome to America Tonight. A shooter fired through a window, then went inside. That's what they're saying out of Nashville, Tennessee. A horrible shooting at the Waffle House just before dawn. And that's where we start. There's a manhunt underway for a suspect, a 29-year-old, Travis Ranking, his name is, from Nashville. They say he might have two weapons on him, a long gun and a handgun. A police helicopter, a police dog try to tracked the suspect after the shooting, but they lost the scent, apparently. Even the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation on Sunday added Ranking to its top 10 most wanted. That's normal procedure. But what happened was, it happened Sunday again at the Waffle House, and this man's on the run, so they're telling people, keep your doors locked, your eyes open. If you see this guy, if you see a nude guy walking around this morning, call the police immediately. So here's what the deal is. He was last seen walking along the side of the road. He doesn't have a coat. He was nude, is what they were saying. And the story, sadly, is that he went inside the restaurant and started a fire, and witnesses, some of them had just cuts on their faces from the windows that were shattered, but there were victims inside the restaurant who were fatally shot. So another one of these crazy, insane shootings that we don't really know what set him off. He had an assault type rifle. Motive for the shooting is just random, is what it sounds like. There were a couple of people that were injured, and then there were people that were killed. There was a Waffle House employee, and then there were a couple of other people, and then there was a 21-year-old woman from Gatlin, Tennessee, who was fatally wounded in the restaurant. Just, again, a horrific shooting. And the only reason it stopped is because there was a hero, of course. A customer who heard gunshots hit near the restaurant's bathrooms and monitored the moves from far away, jumped into action when he saw an opportunity. He saw the gunman look at his rifle. At that point, the shots had stopped, so he decided to rush him. He actually wrestled the gun away, tossed it over the counter. At that point, the gunman then fled. So this guy is a hero. And it was James Shaw. So James Shaw Jr., hats off to you tonight, 29 years old. He was injured in the scuffle, but he was able to wrestle that AR-15 style rifle away from the shooter. So bravo to that. Let's hope they catch him. So the latest, as of you hearing this, is that latest that I have now is that he has not been caught, has not been caught. Meanwhile, we move to some other news from over the weekend, because I like to say, if you've just tuned in, hey, America Tonight is about the buzz in your backyard and mine. In other words, what we're all talking about. And when I say what we're all talking about, meaning, of course, people are talking about this brutal shooting at the Waffle House, this cool hero who did something, or more people could have died. And then there are these stories like this one about a Brooklyn mail carrier who hoarded 17,000 pieces of mail for more than a decade because he was overwhelmed by the amount that he had to deliver. That is my biggest fear. We've heard stories like this before, and I always think, you know, when someone says the check is in the mail, oh my gosh, let's pray the mailman is not hoarding pieces of mail. Can you imagine? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, what route and where should I go? So, people who haven't received mail or certain pieces of mail they were told that they were going to get for over 10 years, they could be, in fact, getting some mail because he was overwhelmed. Wow. This is a sad story. White Sox pitcher Danny Farquhar is in critical condition after brain hemorrhaging in the dugout. Someone texted me this story today. The pitcher got the brain hemorrhage Friday night and fainted in the dugout. against the White Sox were playing the Astros in critical condition. He's just 31 years old. It was a ruptured aneurysm that caused the brain bleed. He's stable, at least. He's in intensive care. He faced four batters in the top of the sixth, then passed out after the inning. So the medical staff for the White Sox and emergency, of course, medical personnel, as you can imagine, they're scrambling, attended to him before he was taken to the hospital. And he is, or he was anyway, conscious during the transportation to the hospital, which is good news. Remember, we've had specialists on this show before where we've talked about brain injuries and what happens, but just a very, very sad, unforeseen story. And certainly we wish him the best, and it's, I heard that his teammates are, of course, a little freaked out about this, and it's not a surprise that they would be. The nation is also talking a lot about Barbara Bush, and we talked about Barbara Bush last week because there was the funeral for Barbara Bush a couple days ago. And there have been so many pictures released of her and so many conversations about her pearls and her antics and, you know, all that sort of stuff and what it was like when she was at the Republican National Convention and to be the wife of one president and the mother of another president. Very unique situation. And, boy, it's... You know, it was another one of those long love stories, kind of reminding me of the Reagans. The Bushes remind me of that in a different way, but similar. I can remember seeing those pictures of them in the 80s and going from Camp David to the White House and then all the kids with them. And I remember the former First Lady throwing out the ceremonial first pitch before Game 4 of the National League Championship Series between the Cardinals and the Astros way back in 2000. And four, and she was known for those pearls, and people would talk about Barbara Bush's pearls. So I think when I talk about the fact that we've got people remembering Barbara Bush, that's the kind of things they're remembering. And, of course, the former First Lady was there for the 2017 World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers at Minute Maid, and, you know, looked pretty good. You think this was a woman who made it into her 90s. And speaking of being in your 90s, Queen Elizabeth II went to a concert for her 92nd birthday. So Queen Elizabeth is... You know, keeps on ticking. She's the woman who's had the throne for a very, very long time. If you think about when she stepped into that position. So a first lady is gone and an iconic monarch continues to thrive in her early 90s, and that's what she did for her birthday, deciding to go to a concert. And I think the royals, there's so much conversation about the royals because of Prince Harry's wedding, and also on Netflix there's a series, I've talked about it before for those of you who do that binge watching thing called The Crown, and that's about the royals, and it focuses on Queen Elizabeth, and it made, you know, it's made some noise in a good way because the actress who portrays her, I think, is doing a really super fine job, and they've had two seasons of that so far. All right, stay with us, much more coming your way next as we dive into the mailbag here on America Tonight.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to.
Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Once again, we head to the mailbag. Got a ton of mail. Thank you so much, Kate Delaney. America tonight. So, on your mind, I got one from Jake who says, Kate, it's horrific what's going on with people, these maniacs going into places and shooting innocent people. Man, the guy who wrestled the shooter to the ground, he is a hero. Hats off. Awesome dude. So glad that somebody did something about it, because who knows how many more people could have been killed. And, of course, like a little sissy, he ran away. Not the hero, the guy that he wrestled, because he knew he had him. So, bravo for the man who did what he did to help the people in Nashville, Tennessee, in that Waffle House. I'm telling you what, it is scary as heck out there. I would say stronger words, but you have such a nice show, I wouldn't do that and you wouldn't read it. You know what? It is scary, but it's life. And unfortunately, with life, you have wonderful people and then you have, frankly, freaking nuts. And the people that are doing the things that they're doing, I mean, these guys that are, I don't know, making a name for themselves, or they're nutty and they decide they're going to act out, or, you know, what are the reasons for that? How do you take innocent people's lives? How do you think that's something you should do? It's of course it doesn't register. Of course it doesn't make any sense to go into a Waffle House, and you're nude too, by the way. So he didn't have any clothes on. He goes in and he's shooting out windows, and other people were injured in this. And you know, it's sad. You know, the hero, James Shaw, who was just mentioned, was just trying to wipe tears away during a press conference. People were, you know, congratulating him for doing what he did, but he saw people die. He saw innocent people die just going, you know, going to the Waffle House, being at the Waffle House and seeing that. And, you know, they're trying to figure out, okay, so what's the deal with this guy? Why did he do that? And the FBI is looking for him. He was just, all he had on was a jacket, apparently. He opened fire. He just decided, he lived in this Antioch apartment complex, which is near the Waffle House. It was about 3:25 in the morning, and I know that area, ironically, because I had a cousin who lived in Murfreesboro, right near there, and that was Murfreesboro Pike, so they're offering rewards for information, and, you know, who knows, three people died at the scene, another one died at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, two patients are in critical condition, and it's, you know, thank goodness for the citizen, James Shaw, stepping up. You know, he is a hero, because he has to save his life, but he decides he's going to save other people's lives, and you know, just, it's just awful, and hopefully they get this guy, but it's doesn't bring the people back. I say this all the time. You're listening to my voice here, right? And we're saying, okay, so if they get him, which I hope they do, and I think they will, the sad part of this is all those people are dead, and they're in their 20s. You know, there's no coming back from that. There's no coming back. And in the Tennessee newspapers, that's all they're talking about. That's it. I mean, they're talking about, for the most part, you know, that's it. That's what people are talking about. The buzz in their backyard, and sadly the buzz in our backyard, is that. All right, let's take another one. This one is from Manfred. I like that, Manfred. Manfred says, Katie Kate, I've heard someone call you that before, so I decided I was going to jump on that nickname. Here's my question to you. If you had all the money you could possibly want and you could buy a car, what car would you buy? Oh, boy, that's a good question. I need my young friend Donovan Cashin to come back on the show to talk about cars. If I was getting a car and I had, I mean, and money was no object, I'd get something really exotic. You know what I mean? Like I would, like something over the top, like a Ferrari. Although I don't know how that would go over my neighborhood. I'm just thinking that, about that out loud. If I wanted to just go, you know, just fully loaded and not talking about like a crazy car. Some of these SUVs, like the Lincoln Navigator and the Cadillac Escalade, are pretty interesting. And I guess large luxury SUV sales have jumped up. I was just reading a story about that. I'm just throwing this in. Something like almost 13%. So I think the fact that they're bigger, I think the fact that they're are comfortable and they're loaded with everything and they've got a lot of power makes people feel comfortable, I guess, and that's part of it. So, and they're redesigned and they're, and like I said, they're comfortable. Maybe that's what it is. But if money's not an object and it's just, okay, I'm at my whim, I'm going to get a bunch of different, and I would get a bunch of different cars if that's the case, right? But if it was going to be some kind of, it would have to be a sports car no matter what. And maybe the Ferrari wouldn't be it, but probably, it probably would be. But I wonder if I would just get tired of that, you know? I wonder if I would just be like, yeah, that was cool to have it, but I've ridden it around, and really, there's no place to take it, and I'm not into, I don't know. And I'm saying, again, in the case of that car, fully loaded too, where money's no object, because that's what you're saying. Okay, how about this one? This one is from Sam. Kate, I wondered if, I know that you sometimes said you watch junk TV or TV once in a while, series, binge watching, because it makes you feel good when you're exhausted, and that's your way to just chillax. Do you watch Westworld? I do watch Westworld, because the other, who's coming back this week, by the way, the other likes Westworld, and he's convinced me, and because I want to spend time with him, I've watched it, and it's been, I mean, I guess it's been, it's so long in between these seasons. I guess it's been like 16 months, which is hard to believe. But there's some good people in it. Ed Harris is in it. James Marsden is in it. Evan Rachel Wood is in it. And it's a mythology kind of thing where there's these weird plot twists. And people want to go, they sort of put design their own life, if that makes sense. It's hard to explain, but it's, I think it's such an interesting concept. Excuse me. It's a decent show. I didn't really like it at first. And it would be kind of freaky if we could do that. But it's, I don't know. It's interesting because people go in and they have to defend themselves, and it's very strange. It's very strange, but I guess interesting is what I'll say. And so the plot lines to me are kind of sort of hard to follow, if you will. All right, so let's move on to another one. This one is from James. And James says, "Hello, Kate. I'm wondering if you get a lot of robocalls." And the reason I ask that, and I ask your, actually the listeners, hello, I'm wondering if all of you get robocalls, because it seems like I'm getting more than ever, and I thought we were supposed to stomp them out. Yeah, we were supposed to stomp them out. Well, theoretically, it'd be great to stomp them out. You know what's really weird? It comes onto your iPhone, your smartphone, whatever. And I even got something about you will be take the cops are going to come and arrest you, and like there's scams. And they say that you get about nine. They say that there's about 98 million robocalls a day, and fraud and the calls and the amounts, of course, this is the reason why, it amounts to about $9.5 billion annually. So it's bad. 3 billion robocalls last month alone, according to UMail Robocall Index. They say March has been the worst we have ever seen, period. I mean, that's ridiculous. So what do you do? And a few phone makers now have built-in alerts when a call is probably a scam, and I've had that where it says it's a scam, and I know the others got that. He's got a different kind of phone than me, and I know he's had that too. It's brutal because they're figuring out ways to get around it. So AT&T's app, it has Call Protect. It can block fraud calls and alert you if a caller is likely a robocall spammer. Verizon has a caller ID. T-Mobile has a scam block. Sprint has a premium caller ID. So there's a lot of ways to deal with it. But as much as it feels like, you know, is it a good practice to add your numbers to the National Do Not Call Register? They say if your number's on the register and you don't get, and you do get on one of the calls, report them. But it gives the good guys a way to fight the, you know, bad guys. All right, stay with us. We got an awesome interview coming up next here on ATN.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation Sanitation Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I'm always amazed by the people that we have on this show, and I really like what we're going to talk about next. In our virtual green room, CEO Seth Sternberg of something called JoinHonor.com is with us. And I don't know about you, but when I think about getting older and I start to wonder what is that space going to look like, the more I read about this company, the more excited I got. How about you?
Many people are thinking about what happens when I get older, but I think, as Seth is going to tell us, for a lot of people, this is a reality today because either they are older or they have aging parents, and it's becoming kind of a challenge to manage in a loving and appropriate way.
Absolutely. So Seth, tell us about JoinHonor.com and what you think the current state of home care is in the country.
Yeah, so Honor was created to help us help our parents remain in their homes as they age. 90% of people over the age of 65 when they're polled want to be able to stay in their homes, which makes intuitive sense, right? As you get older, of course, you want to stay in your home and you want to go elsewhere. But it turns out that as you get older, there are certain things that become hard to do, like getting food at some point, even something like getting out of bed. And so we send care professionals into people's homes to help them accomplish these things that are called activities of daily living, which are things like getting food, getting dressed, getting out of bed, getting to the doctor's office, all those, you know, very standard things. But if you can't do one or two of them, then it's very hard to live alone. It's a very large industry today. In America alone, it's a $30 billion industry. But it's not a very good product today. Unfortunately, the industry is what you might call hyper-fragmented. There are about 50,000 agencies that deliver home care. And as a result, they each have very, very few caregivers individually to pull from. And what's so important is that you have enough caregivers such that your mom's or dad's unique needs are met by the unique skills of that caregiver. So if your mom, for example, has cats in her home and maybe she has early onset dementia, then you really want a caregiver who is both trained in working with people who have early onset dementia and who also is not allergic to cats. And so having a depth of professionals to pull from is really important. And that can really only come with scale, but that doesn't yet exist in this industry, and that's what we're trying to solve.
It's interesting, as you were describing that scenario, the one word that popped into my mind, Seth, was the word scale, because you've got to have enough clients and enough caregivers to be able to match them up, almost like a dating service. No one wants to be part of a dating service when there's only two other people to date.
That's exactly right.
It's, and as you were describing that, it actually reminded me of a conversation I had with my grandmother when she was about 92, and she said, well, the good news is I'm still cleaning my house on my own at 92. She said, the bad news is my eyes are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew when we visited her that she really needed some help, and it was really was a struggle. You know, as you said, and I want to reinforce, we're not talking about, this is not medical help. This is around the house help, doing things that are really, they might be important for health. And in some cases, I suspect, and I hope you'll confirm, that they're really just important for quality of life.
That's right. And also to just keep people active and engaged. So one of the kind of issues that you see as people grow older is it becomes harder to get out because driving at night is a little more difficult. And then driving in general is a little bit more difficult. And then mobility might make it a little bit more difficult. And so people become isolated. And that's actually something that causes faster decline as people get isolated. So a benefit of home care is actually breaking the isolation cycle. It makes it easier to have other people come over because you have someone there who's helping arrange things, but it also is a person in and of themselves who can, you know, you can have conversations with. You know, we actually make sure that our care professionals know about, for example, the proudest moment in someone's life, know about what someone's career was, so that they can really engage with the folks that they're working with.
Yeah, when we look, Seth, at technology and introducing technology to that everyday life of the caregivers, and with the challenges we have today, and we know technology is just moving at the speed of light anyway, how does this work from the standpoint of the givers, those that give, and then the clients?
Yeah, so the clients get an app that they can, you know, download in the App Store, and it lets them do things like schedule their visits. It lets them see who's coming. It lets them read notes. So one thing our clients love is that they get a note after every visit from the care pro explaining what happened that day, and that's especially important if you don't live near your parents, so you can kind of keep tabs on what's happening. But you know, I'd say the probably the more important application that we build is actually the one for the care pros. Because that's, if you think about it from your perspective, if you're purchasing Honor for your mom and dad, or if you're purchasing Honor for yourself, what you really care about is that the care pro is amazing. You don't care about technology. You don't care about the apps. You just want an amazing person. And so what our application for the care pros is designed to do is to make those care pros excellent. It's almost like when you and I use Google Maps, and that tells us when a restaurant's open or how to get somewhere. It's simplifying, and it makes our it makes us smarter. It makes us better. So our app for the care pros does the same thing. It tells them client information. It tells them, you know, like I said, what was this person's career. It tells them what are this person's medical issues. It tells them, hey, when you go to this home, these are the things that this customer would like you to do today. You know, help clean up around the house, cook this kind of food, et cetera. It even does things like ensuring that the care pro actually arrived at the house. So in this industry today, the kind of literal no-show rate of care pros going to homes is very high. And so the app actually ensures that a care pro did go to the home because it's watching to make sure that the GPS chip was at the home when it was supposed to be there. So it's all about making that care pro truly excellent. There's another side of this that I think is also important. Because it's technology-based, we're able to save money on the operations side of Honor. So we don't need as many people kind of in the back office figuring out where people are going because a computer can do that. We take that money and we turn it into higher pay for the care pros. that means that we're able to get better care pros who are then in a better place in their own lives so that they can then deliver better care.
We hear a lot of talk, Seth, about the reputation economy. We're talking with Seth Sternberg. He's the CEO of the company Honor. The website is joinhonor.com. We hear a lot of talk about the reputation economy, and I'm wondering if that applies in your model as well. Are care pros rated by both the senior that they're caring for and the family of the senior so that a higher rating elevates them within your company and allows you to make sure that you're only using the absolute best care pros available?
Yeah, so it's fascinating. We have ratings that our clients do of a care pro. It's actually the average client rating of a care pro out of 5 is 4.67.
And then that's pretty good.
That's pretty amazing. And then we actually have the care pros rate Honor. And recently we did a survey and asked them, how likely would you be to recommend Honor to friends of yours who wanted to be a care pro? And 87% came back with a 9 or a 10, which is highly recommend, which is awesome. So the care pros are really happy. The customers are really happy. But importantly, you know, this concept of the reputation economy, you have to be careful to interpret data the right way. And so let's say that a certain care pro is working in only one home, and that home always gives everyone bad reviews. Hmm. That should not negatively impact that care pro, right? We don't want to set that person up for failure. And so we actually look for a bunch of other signals to figure out how good a job is a care pro doing. Things like, you know, are they regularly leaving notes for the customer? How long are those notes? Are they arriving on time regularly? Do they stay for the full shift length? There's a lot of, do they go through the full care plan when they're in the home and accomplish the tasks they're supposed to accomplish? So we're looking at a bunch of data. Some of it's really obvious, right, like the star ratings, but some of it's a little bit less obvious because we have to be careful to treat people fairly.
One of the things that fascinates me about your company, Seth, is as I went through your website getting ready to talk with you, I noticed these really fascinating press releases about things you're doing that's innovation beyond an app on a phone, for instance. So can you tell us about, for instance, the project you're doing with Walmart?
Yeah, so what we did with Walmart is we opened up a couple of locations in their a couple of stores in Dallas, and that was a first test. We've actually since closed those down, but that was kind of the first test that we did with Walmart, where we wanted to see what would happen if you put a retail kind of training center or education center, really, in the front of a store. And it was really fascinating because what we discovered there is people wanted to learn a lot. But, like, for example, you want to be near a pharmacy where people kind of are waiting around for a prescription rather than front of a store where people are really on their way out after they've checked out. So good learning there. We've also done things with, for example, American Cancer Society and the Alzheimer's Association. And there we've built in training from the American Cancer Society, from the Alzheimer's Association, into Honor's training programs for its care pros so that we can make them truly excellent at working with people who either have, you know, cancer in the case of the training from the American Cancer Society, or folks with Alzheimer's, or we've done something with the Parkinson's Foundation as well. And those are now actually becoming modules in the app that the care pros use so that they can get quick reference to material when they're in someone's home. So there's all sorts of stuff that we're doing that really pushes the boundary of home care to deliver a truly unique experience to our customers.
Wow, fascinating. I was just getting sucked into the cycle of listening to that terrific stuff that you're doing. CEO Seth Sternberg, can't wait to see where this all goes. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep an eye on this company, joinhonor.com. Thanks.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
Bro, frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 6th annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, June 1st through the 4th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact. This amazing weekend offers more than 50 lectures, 40 workshops, 8 exciting panels, and special events. Contact in the Desert features leading experts, including me, George Norrie, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Michael Tellinger, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and many more important researchers and scientists in the field. With a breaking New York Times story, disclosure of the Pentagon's mysterious UFO program, Contact in the Desert is the place to go to see the inside track. Join us at contactinthedesert.com or call 760-660-8484. That's contactinthedesert.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
What an interesting guest we have coming up. Gene Daddle joins us. He's the author of Reckoning with Race, America's Failure. And what a background. I was reading about him just the other day. This is the part that I think so many of you will find intriguing. He's white. He grew up in the majority black cotton country of the Mississippi Delta. He has another book that was called Cotton and Race and the Making of America. He's a graduate of Yale University and Vanderbilt University Law School. And check this out. He spent 20 years in finance as the managing director of Salmon Brothers and Morgan Stanley. I want to get all of this in because it's significant. He's also served as an advisor to major cultural institutions from the New York Historical Society to the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum. Gene, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I went through your background. So interesting. What made you, and I could kind of understand why, but when did you first become interested in the history of race?
Well, I grew up in a small town in the Mississippi Delta that was majority black, 1,500 people. And the first, my first encounter economically was in my father's department store Saturday nights when I worked there as a young teen, and the customers were all black. So I got to look at blacks in terms of an economic area very, very early in life. I think the transformative experience, Kate, was when I went to Yale in 1962 as the only person from a majority black area in Mississippi, and James Meredith entered the university at the same time, and I was kind of the center of attention, more like a target
And the questions and the criticisms provoked this interest, which was actually encouraged by my professors. So this has been a 60-year journey almost in terms of reading and research about racial issues and economic history.
It's interesting that you call out that time of going to Yale from this small town that you grew up in the Mississippi Delta, where you were someone who was white in a majority black population of people. Did you have an awareness of race before you went to Yale? Because I can imagine walking into Yale, things are going to look different than they did back at home.
Well, not really, in the sense that the North, and this is what virtually every Southerner experiences when they move North, is the look at race in the North. So I found that the North was deeply segregated. I was looking forward to having an integrated classroom, and there are 5 African-Americans in my class of 1,000 at Yale. Mm-hmm. I never saw a black professor there. So the degree of difference is a lot less, and the urban environment actually meant less familiarity. So that when I was growing up in Mississippi, there was a social structure, but there was familiarity. I mean, you knew black, white, young, old, middle class, and poor. And so you reacted to all of them in the kind of civil tones that each group had to have. So you were very familiar with black people at that time. You were not living in a bubble. When a poor black person came in the store, I saw it firsthand.
So, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about this, and it's not lost, I'm sure, on this audience. But, and as you know, this month marks the 50th anniversary of the tragic assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. What do you see, Gene, as his greatest impact?
I think his greatest impact was the moral impact that he had early on before things got complicated. And that was the brilliant strategy which he inherited from other people about nonviolence and the concrete way he used the segregated areas in terms of public accommodations and voting rights discrimination and the way he conquered that. I mean, he was the moving force, a charismatic figure that led that. By the time you got to the assassination, things became very complex for him, and he realized that immediately. I think the first time he realized it were in the North when he went to Cleveland and Chicago in 1964 and 65, and he said there were no obvious naive targets like George Wallace to deal with, that the issues, jobs, crime, education, was much more complex than he'd ever realized. And even within the black community, there was rivalry with the black militants, of course, with the conservative elements, Roy Wilkins or people like that. Fannie Lou Hamer, the populist from my hometown in Louisville, Mississippi, did not even go to King's funeral. So there was a disarray then, but the early part, the leadership, from this one man was absolutely extraordinary, this powerful leadership.
We're talking with Gene Daddle. His book is Reckoning with Race, America's Failure. And Gene, that's a really strong subtitle, America's Failure. Reckoning with Race, America's Failure. We've been talking about the past. It's obvious. I mean, it's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. To say now 50 years later, I mean, a lot of time has passed. Things have changed. But I want you to tell us your view of how things have changed and why today in your book you call it America's Failure.
Yeah, how can I justify calling this
Well,
failure?
I'm not even asking you to justify it. I'm just asking you to explain it.
Okay, what I mean by that is, of course, there's a middle class. Of course, overt legal segregation is over. But what we have are still inner-city situations. I mean, despite the fact that we've had a black president for 8 years, and once I look at the education numbers, and once I look at the economic numbers, the real failure is the inability to assimilate or integrate this black community into the economic mainstream. And that is the focus of the book, how to get a mass of black people into the economic mainstream. And there, what I'm talking about primarily is the private sector.
And you certainly, Gene, you know, this is, it's very strange. There's either a little bit of subtle pushback on that, or you have the desire to, some of these institutions have a desire to make that happen, but it moves so slowly. I don't understand why we're so far behind others in the world when it comes to even race relations. Why is that?
Well, I'm not sure we're behind other countries. You know, I've lived in Japan for 9 years. So when I look at, Kate, when I look at other successful, prosperous societies, Japan, for example, it's a homogeneous society. There is no race or national issue in Japan because everybody's Japanese. When I look at Europe, they're homogeneous societies, having problems with the small number of Muslims coming in at this point. So America is the only grand experiment in a multi-ethnic nation. So it's ours and our problem alone and how we deal with it. And we must convert from a society that previously was defined by race to one that's defined by values. And at the basis of this is going to be economics. And I look at economics, you know, from the 19th century to the present, and whether people know housing ownership, people know asset levels, people know poverty levels, people know income levels, and they haven't really budged in the last 50 years in terms of ratio of white, black to white. And then when I look at education level, I'm seeing the same kind of thing in terms of the catastrophe of our public school system, where you've got almost 60% of black high school graduates needing remedial work. And then I look at the college situation. And then the stark statistic is the number of businesses employing people in America by blacks is 2%. And there you can look immediately at the colleges in terms of black majors. And the Georgetown study comes out every year, and it shows that 40% of all black college majors are in something related to community service or social work, low-paying jobs. The higher-paying jobs and the mainstream in terms of finance or business or engineering or computer science is all between 5 and 8%. And even when you get into healthcare, most of the black graduates are dealing with administrative work. So you've got American corporations. This was a surprise for me in the 1960s, how aggressive they were in terms of beginning to hire black people without government prompting. But the problem is the pipeline, and the pipeline is small getting into those areas. The other problem, of course, is racial separation. So before the 1960s, blacks had to try to create a separate, self-sufficient economy, and that doesn't work in this society. And I deal with that in a large and extensive way. So once there was the opportunity, which we have now, I think there is opportunity, but I think we need preparation. And to get back to Martin Luther King, in 1965, King observed that blacks needed to become prepared for a competitive society and understand its shortcomings. The same thing that was said by Whitney Young in terms of preparing themselves for the society. And so then you look at the education levels and the building blocks of society. Those building blocks of society are family, community, and church. And that's what I deal with a lot in the book.
Gene, what a fascinating conversation. So much so, I think that this deserves another segment. Are you available to join us again on Forbes Books at Bedtime?
Yes.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.